Hello all, my name is Brittany and this is the Exposing Grief podcast where I continue to remove that stigma of grief and expose it for what it truly is, which is that natural and healthy way of living and loving. I'll also be adding a little bit of a twist. So this podcast will expose the work behind honoring your grief journey, showing you the real hardships and the unbelievable beauty that grief can bring. I'm thrilled to have you here. So let's get to ending the grief stigma and beginning to build hope. Hello, all my Exposing Grief listeners. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm excited to bring another guest to you. I'm sitting with Jennifer Soames. She is a traumatic brain injury survivor and author, and I'm super excited because she's part of our trauma series in October, but she's going to be hitting on grief from a little bit of a different perspective. I'm guessing you can probably take a wild guess at what that might be based on her title. So I won't wait any more time. Jennifer, I'll turn it over to you. Please share your story and how you encountered grief and what you want to share with our listeners today.
Sure. So I'll try to keep it as concise and more like the Cliff's Notes version of my story, because of course I could go into all the details that have happened in the last near 9 years.
I'm sure.
But yeah, it was the Friday before Thanksgiving, the end of November in 2013. And I was in a horseback riding lesson, a dressage lesson. And the horse that I was riding, not my own, but my horse that my trainer was using, spooked in the lesson. And even being an experienced rider, I came off and hit, according to my trainer, very hard on the ground and hitting the back of my head, landing on my back, and of course wearing a helmet. But long story short, incurred a concussion, drove myself home an hour, had a horrible night, the worst pain in my head that I hope to ever experience. And the next day, after a little bit of chiropractic and craniosacral therapy treatment, I reluctantly, per the pretty much insistence of one of my friends and colleagues who had treated me that morning, went to the ER to get a CT scan, got diagnosed with concussion there, was given some prescription strength pain medication, just Motrin. And my husband was driving, of course, and we were on our way home. This was about 25 hours after the fall from the horse. And of no fault of our own, we were in a car accident about 3 miles shy of being home. So definitely added significant insult to injury.
And, absolutely.
Oh, man. And little did I know that that period of 25 hours would pretty much change the course of my life. And of course, those who know me and are part of my life, it affects them equally as much. Of course, diagnosed with concussion, which I didn't really take that seriously because I was given a 2-page handout by the ER and said, I'll be fine in 2 weeks. So I thought, well, of course, you know, no big deal. It's kind of this, like, walk it off mentality.
Sure.
Yeah. But I was not fine still 2 weeks later, nor 6 months later. And despite the people that I knew within the healthcare community being a licensed body worker and with my own practice at that time, I knew a lot of people who knew people, but I still didn't even know what to do or who to see and what could help. So thanks to people who knew people, I started to get care that I needed. Fast forward, my symptoms, some of them started to improve, which was great, and others did not, like chronic fatigue. And that seemed to just get worse over time, gradually, no matter what I did. And I was doing all the quote right things. And eventually, toward the end of 2019, in August of 2019, I really had to stop kind of kidding myself and had to really come forward and say to myself and to my husband that I can't keep working anymore. I just can't do it. And so I decided I would close my practice in January of 2020. So little did I know what we were about to get into at that time. But I was also then later diagnosed with dysautonomia, which I have been dealing with really since the beginning of my injuries, but it took 7 years to get that diagnosis. And
Wow.
that is a dysfunction of the autonomic nervous system, the things that control things like your blood pressure, your heart rate, and all of the things that are basically not under our conscious control. So I ended up having to file for disability. Thankfully, that process is almost complete after 2 years. But it wasn't even until I would say about 3 years ago that I even really understood that I was experiencing grief from all that I had lost in this process over the years. I lost communities that I used to be a part of that I could no longer attend. I had to end some relationships. I couldn't do the things that I used to do. I used to be incredibly active, like, up first thing in the morning, like go get her kind of thing. And here I was like laying on the couch, like not able to do anything, just like staring at the wall because my brain just didn't want to work at all. Just all of these things continue to like add up of all the things that I have lost in my sense of self, of like who I understood that I was.
Yeah.
It can cause like personality changes, emotional dysregulation. Lost my husband, poor guy. But then, of course, losing my career of 14 years, my award-winning practice of 12, and then just like being at home pretty much by myself most of the time, and just kind of feeling like, what do I do now? When it got pointed out to me by one of my therapists that I was experiencing grief, I was like, oh, that's what that is. Like, that's a thing. Because like, I didn't even know that that's what I was experiencing.
Yeah.
And I was so angry. Like at that time, like I was very much experiencing anger. And that was, I think, like the foremost thing at that time that was kind of like the red flag of like, yeah, this is the thing that you're experiencing. Just like with any like diagnosis, it's validating and almost like a relief to have it named. Oh, because now I can work with it, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think particularly to the losses that you're speaking to, I think a common thing that gets overlooked or just isn't recognized in grief is that there are different losses we can experience that kind of trigger grief, right? Or that has grief carried following it. Oftentimes we think about, oh, the death of a person, right? A loved one passes, we grieve. Well, you're hitting on all these really important pieces of no, I can grieve around identity loss. I can grieve around the loss of a job. I can grieve around just typical life transition pieces based on how maybe how they manifest or how that transition happens. So I appreciate that you're normalizing and highlighting that that too is an experience. And also, you're normalizing and highlighting your own experience of, oh my gosh. Thank you for labeling that because I didn't recognize and realize that this was grief right away. And I would imagine there's a lot of people with ambiguous losses that don't realize there's some grief that goes to this. There's a loss to that. So I appreciate you highlighting that.
Absolutely. Grief is, I'll admit, it's painful, it's messy, and covered in snot. It's
Yeah.
actually what I told a friend the other week who was experiencing some grief themselves. I love analogies because I think people can understand them. And so I think of grief as like pulling a thorn out of your foot. It hurts like hell for a brief period of time, but when you do that, then that's when the healing begins. And because grief is painful, and we know that on a like brain physiology level, it actually emotional pain triggers the same part of the brain as physical pain, which is why it's painful. And I was so afraid that if I addressed it, if I went there, that it was just going to be overwhelming, it was going to be all consuming, and that I was basically never going to be able to pull myself back out of it. So I was, and admittedly, like there are times where I still am very resistant to wanting to address it. One of the things that I've learned too is that it's one thing to just intellectualize and talk about grief and like stay really from the neck up and just be in our heads, but it's another to really allow ourselves to feel it. And I really didn't want to feel. And like you're someone who, like for a profession, like I relied on feeling not only by touch, but also just, really being aware of what my clients were experiencing in our sessions. And so like here I was like not wanting to feel. I just wanted to kind of dissociate, not be there. because it was so much easier to stay in my head.
Yes, and that's such a common thing, particularly when there's trauma attached to grief. Our tendency is to do exactly what you're saying of I just want to stay on the surface level. I don't want to actually feel it in my body because that's really uncomfortable. And we know with trauma, our body holds on to stuff, right? So
Absolutely.
I appreciate you normalizing that for people. And I'm curious what really feeling it and getting out of the intellectual space and more the physical and feeling space, what that looked like for you and what you experienced.
Good question. I don't know if I can pinpoint a particular thing, but it's more of really allowing myself to feel kind of that pain, like, and to really let myself like cry it out. And to one of my friends who's actually a forgiveness coach, she's very normalized for me to like punch pillows or like just bang your fist like on the bed and just like basically have like a tantrum. Like, let that out of your physical body, because I wanted to keep all that pent up. Like, I didn't want to allow myself to experience the emotions behind it. There was one time I actually took, like, I want to say it was like an old printer, something that wasn't working, something that we would have had to get rid of anyway. And I took a baseball bat to it in the garage, and that was fantastic.
There are
So, like,
actual, I think we talked about this in our previous conversations, but there are actual, they're called rage rooms.
I've been to one.
Have you? Oh my gosh, I
I
haven't
have.
been to one, but it's very therapeutic.
And I'm not one who really likes to kind of let anger out. So it's a really healthy way to do that. And then for me, like, I'm also a yoga instructor. I've been a yoga practitioner for a long time. And so, like, really being in my body and allowing myself to just feel whatever comes up has been important, even when I do want to resist that with like all my might.
When
But, you know, the more that, oh, go ahead.
I'm just curious because you talk about this piece of even though you practice yoga and you provide yoga as a service, you still find a tendency and a resistance towards allowing yourself to just be in your body and feel that. So then imagine what it would be like for somebody who has no practice in yoga and has no starting point on how do I even begin to feel my body and allow myself to sit there? So what is there a tip or a tool that you might give our listeners if they have no way of tapping into that, how they might be able to start welcoming that experience and allowing themselves to sit in their emotion?
Yeah, one is to, if you're sitting quietly or you can even lie down, I'm a big fan of just lying down, is to let your eyes close if that feels safe or comfortable, or at least let your eyelids get very heavy. Just pay attention to your breath. You don't have to change the way that you're breathing, but simply become aware that you are breathing. Maybe your breath rate will slow down a little bit. When you start to think of your experience, whatever is kind of the instigator for your grief or whatever you're going through, bring that to mind and notice if that changes anything in how you feel in your physical body. Does that change how fast you breathe? Does your breath rate start to go up? Do you start to tense up in any way? Where do you feel that? It's like, if I think of some of the loss, like, a lot of the times for me, I feel that I'm very aware of, like, around my heart space, like in my chest and like my neck. And so it's like, where do you feel that? Just start to feel into those things. And if you're doing this and you're like, I don't know, great observation. Like, that is a great place to start. Just going like, I don't know. And then it's a great opportunity to maybe get some help with that. Work with, you know, a skilled therapist, or, you know, plenty of other people, you know, body work, somatic stuff, dance, yoga, whatever it is, things to get you feeling in your own skin. And it can help you start to get more in tune with that too, because, of course, all this stuff, yes, it's going on in our minds and our brains, but it's also, of course, affecting our bodies. And because they're not separate. And the more that we can start to pay attention to that, then again, like, the more we can work with all of it as well.
Yes, I love that you hit on the piece of a good place to start is just identifying it, which I understand for our individuals like ourselves who are in the helping profession or a little bit more familiar with this process. It's like, well, yeah, of course we would start there. But I think for just anybody outside of our field or the helping profession, that doesn't come naturally. So I appreciate that you're giving the space for our listeners to go. Just start identifying how it shows up and where. And if you don't find anything, that's telling too.
Yeah. And I always tell my students of like, I don't know is a perfectly valid answer when you ask those kind of
Absolutely.
questions. So like
Absolutely.
there's no shame in that at all. It's like just recognize where you are that moment. It may
Absolutely.
change, it might not, and either way, it's okay.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Yes.
And one of the things that I have learned with grief as I continue to work with it, because I still have a long way to go, but it's a continual process, is grief is just a part of life. You know, it's just part of the human experience. And especially in our culture, it's easy to ignore it, not talk about it, like sweep it under the rug of like, how are you? I'm fine.
Are
Right.
you
Like, really? Like, who are you kidding? And, you know, the more that I work with it, the less scary it becomes. I won't say it gets any easier, but it's like, oh, there it is again. And it's more familiar. And there's no right way to do it. There's no time frame. And I think those are two of the biggest things and stigmas around grief is like, oh, especially when it comes to like employers who allow, you know, there's, I know an employer who allows one day for bereavement. It's like, you think
Shocking.
somebody grieves till one day? No, I
Right.
don't think so. And, you know, just because someone else goes through a similar experience, whatever that might be, and if it seems like they don't have any grief, like it really doesn't matter what other people think or where they think that you should be in your grief process, because there are going to be people who are like, it's been how many years since that happened? Or those who are like, it happened, get over it. Just because someone else may have gone through a similar experience and it seems like they're over it or they're moved on, and that does not mean that there's anything wrong with you. It doesn't mean that you're missing something. It just means that that's where you are.
Absolutely. And I think it's really easy to fall into this comparison trap of exactly what you're describing of, oh, well, they went through a similar situation and they're at this point B and I'm not even near that. What am I doing something wrong? All this kind of stuff. And I'm curious too, I've heard the comparison come out particularly with these ambiguous losses, and people will say, oh, well, at least I didn't die, or at least I still have A, B, and C. And I've sat with a couple of grieving parents who are parents of multiple children, and their support system, well-intentioned, we hope, but their support system will communicate, well, at least you have other children to take care of. So
Right.
I'm curious, did you experience any of that comparison for yourself, or did you get any of those comments of, well, at least you didn't, or at least this didn't happen? Did you experience any of that with your TBI experience?
Yeah. And I think there was a blog post I wrote about this some time ago with the phrase that often comes up, well, it could have been worse. And my response to that is, it could have been a lot better.
Me, oh my gosh, yes, what a great response to
Like
that.
it could have been better. And absolutely, there's so many things for which I'm grateful. And gratitude practices is something that I like to do. And like there are times where things just effing stuck. Right. It's like, and people in our culture especially don't know how to just be present with someone else's pain or discomfort without needing or trying to fix. Because it makes them feel better about themselves as opposed to what the other person actually needs.
Right. And I've talked about this in other episodes too. So listeners, if I sound like a broken record on repeat, good, because that's how we learn things, right? That's how we really integrate it. But this idea of when people say they have a tendency to fix when I talk about my grief, this idea of there's nothing to fix when it
Yeah.
comes to grief, for exactly what you're saying, Jennifer, if this is a human response, right? And the more we encounter it, the more we encourage it to be talked about, the more manageable it becomes, right? We gain more tools and skills and all of that to navigate
Absolutely.
it. Not that we'll ever be able to prevent it, but why not have the tools to navigate it for when we do encounter it? So this idea of it's nothing to fix, it's something just simply to learn how to approach.
Yeah. And just sit with it, like sit in it, like be in it. And if
Absolutely.
people are around you or like trying to like cheer you up and you're like, that's not what I want, that's not what I need, you know, you have the opportunity to let them know that. And I don't like it, honestly, when people like try to cheer me up. I'm like, Let me feel what I'm feeling.
Yes.
I don't need to be any different. Or the people who are like, oh, just think positive. And I'm like, toxic positivity, anybody?
Yep, absolutely.
The challenge and the opportunity are to develop those tools and those skills and to get the support, because this is not something to go alone. Like, the more support, especially like working with, a spiritual guide, a licensed therapist, counselor, someone who can help guide you, is priceless and absolutely necessary in my experience.
Absolutely. And I think too, this is part of the whole reason I'm doing this podcast of, sometimes depending on where you're at in your grief journey, listening to a podcast is really all you are capable of doing, or is really the only thing that feels okay in your grief journey. Great. Honor that. And then if you find something in the podcast that you're like, oh, I want to explore that more, or in listening to this, you become a little bit more comfortable to explore your own experience, which then might lead you into listeners, what Jennifer's talking about of find a licensed therapist, find a healer, find a coach, find a guide, whatever it might be. Yeah, I think it's getting all the resources you can is so important because that just gives a foundation for this idea of let's talk about it, right? Let's remove that stigma and help shift the society into one that welcomes and encourages grief.
For sure. And it can feel really lonely to go through it,
Absolutely.
And so that's where getting the support that you can, whatever that looks like to you, is so important, because even though it can feel lonely, like, you're really not alone. And so I love that you're talking about all this, because like, we all experience it. Like, grief is just such, as I said, part of the human experience. And so it's nothing to shy away from. Just like joy is part of the human experience. Like, why don't we normalize grief as much as joy? Because you know what? It's gonna happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think oftentimes people don't realize how not alone they are until they listen to something like this or they attend a support group and go, oh my gosh, I've had or I'm having those exact same thoughts. Or I experienced that too. Okay, I'm not alone. Sure, yes, I'm alone in the specific loss of, the people I'm sitting with, or the people who are listening to this podcast may not have experienced the exact loss that I have. But the idea of grief and how that navigates and what we get stuck around and don't get stuck around, all of that, we don't have to feel alone in that, right? And we can walk with other people alongside. Kind of going back a little bit, but I want to make sure we get this for the listeners. You mentioned a blog post on kind of this comparison piece. What is the actual title of that so I can put it in the show notes for our listeners to read?
Oh, that's a good question. Do you have a blog series? There's a three-part series on grief, and also a poem that I wrote. I love writing, is one of the things that I love doing. And I wrote a poem called Grief Personified. It's actually a short story, but it was giving grief this these human attributes, and that actually really helped me. It was just one of those moments that I was kind of working with grief, and I just started to write, and it turned out being this personification of grief and the story around how grief is actually here to help us to then experience joy and all the things that we want in our lives. So if that resonates with anyone, then you are welcome to check that out, and
Yes,
I'll see if I can.
absolutely. I think anything, any sort of resource we can provide to our listeners. So I'll put the blog series that you're talking about, and then the specific blog you had mentioned when I asked about the comparison. I'll put those down in the show notes, listeners, so you have them and you can review them at your convenience. Jennifer, I can't thank you enough for your time and talking about your unique experience to encountering grief, particularly around these ambiguous losses due to the traumatic brain injury. So I thank you for being vulnerable and raw and sharing this with our listeners and also creating a space to let listeners know if you haven't experienced the death of a loved one, that doesn't mean you're not grieving. We encounter many different losses along the way. Those also deserve to be grieved. So I appreciate you creating a space to normalize that and start talking about it. Usually what I like to do with my guests to kind of tie everything in a nice bow is leave our listeners with this question of if they take nothing away from this episode, which of course I hope they take everything, but if they take nothing but this one thing, what are you hoping that the listeners take with them today?
That is a big question.
It
It's like boom. My hope is that you allow yourself to really experience your grief, to really work with it, to sit in it, to be with it so that you can process it. Just like with anything in your body, like you have to process it and eliminate it, anything that you don't need anymore, and have the courage to do that. It's scary. It's painful, I know. And until you do, you may not experience the joy and happiness that you want to have in your life. So be courageous and do this and with the support that you need. And it will be better, at least for a while, until it
Yeah,
hits again. But
for sure. And
it'll be better and better.
that's the ebb and flow of grief, right?
Absolutely.
Either around the same loss, our life circumstances change and it triggers different things, or we encounter another loss that might then trigger the grief around the previous loss. So knowing that this is a continuous thing, right? It's never over, which
Absolutely.
gets to that timeline piece of our life circumstances change, we change, our abilities change. So knowing we'll revisit it and that's okay.
It comes in waves, and they can be gentle ripples to full-on tsunamis.
Oh, yes.
You
Yep.
never know which it's going to be, but the more that you develop those tools and those skills, the easier it might become to ride those waves.
I love that. Thank you again, Jennifer, for all the helpful information that you gave to our listeners. And listeners, I hope you were able to take something. The expectation is never to take every single thing away because some things may not resonate with you, and that's okay. But I encourage you, and I hope that you're taking what does resonate with you and implementing that in whatever way makes sense. Jennifer, I will put your information down in the show notes if that's okay, if people want to reach out to you. And then I will also
Absolutely.
have those few blogs and poems that she had mentioned for your resources. And then, of course, my information is down there as well if you ever want to reach out to me. But thank you for listening and tuning in, listeners. We're always excited to have you. Jennifer, I thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Exposing Grief. I want you to know that you are playing an important part in removing that stigma of grief and, in turn, creating a world where expression of love for our living and deceased loved ones is acceptable and welcomed. For that, I am forever grateful to you. If you resonated with this episode today, please share it with someone you believe would benefit, or I welcome any and all reviews so it's easier for others who need this hope in their life to find me. Here's to honoring your grief journey and empowering others to do the same. Until next time.